Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We were saying, Solano was saying during the break, he can't hear Sedano without hearing. Who was the call? Let me go. Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, George Sedano from ESPN, ESPN Los Angeles, used to host this shift. Who was that caller that used to call you Sedando?
Oh, man. I can remember his voice. But I can't. I don't remember his name right now.
Oh man,
he used to call me. He used to call me all the time. He'd be like, "Sedando, what up?"
Yeah, it was. You can't. Like Solano was telling us, right? Can't think of Sedano.
He was a Lakers fan, right? Or a Knicks fan? I think a Lakers or a Knicks fan.
No, it wasn't a Knicks fan because you're thinking of Dre. That was
Dre. Oh, the Knicks Dre. Fans up in West Palm. This was a different dude, Sedando.
Yeah, I remember him.
I used to love that. George Sedano, ESPN Los Angeles. Were you in Toronto for Game 2?
I was.
Yeah, what was the vibe there? That place looks insane. Obviously, they shut him up with that 20-0 run or whatever it was at the start of the third quarter. But what was that vibe there?
I did the pregame. We did like a separate digital pregame that was on the ESPN app and Twitter and YouTube, on ESPN's Twitter and YouTube. And we did it from Jurassic Park.
Oh, my God.
It was just ridiculous. Like, it's insane. Like, those people, they were camping out since, like, I don't know, like, middle of the night and just kind of sat there with, like, lawn chairs to be part of it. Like, it was crazy. So those people were hopped up on all sorts of stuff, caffeine, alcohol, you name it, and they were having a blast. So it was just an insane time out there. You couldn't even hear. We had to use those headsets that you guys, you know, you've seen them, like the play-by-play people use them, and we use them in radio, like when you're on remote, right? Like when you're doing a broadcast, you have the headset with the microphone, like on a, like a stick. We had to use those because I guess in game one, they tried to do it with just normal IFB, like in your ear, like the little thing that's wired into your ear with a regular stick mic, and they couldn't hear each other. So they had to do it with the over the, you know, ears, like headphones, so that you could hear, because it's so crazy out there.
And I know there's a bunch of big, you know, big stadiums, loud stadiums, arenas in the NBA, George, but is that Jurassic Park? Is that like the best outside of the stadium fan experience in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, I've done all of them at this point for the most part, you know, outside of a few, and they definitely get the most, like, turned up. Like, I don't think there's any question. And it's every game, right? It's not just because it's the playoffs or it's because it's the NBA Finals. They do this stuff in the regular season out there. So it's become like an event, right? If you can't get tickets to the game, you can just go to Jurassic Park and watch the stuff from out there. And there's a real event going on each and every night. So, yeah, I would say that it's for sure the biggest in the league. I was told from some Warriors people while I was there for Game 2 that they're going to try to create something outside their new arena in San Francisco at the Chase Center, which is a perfect location because it's, like, right off the wharf and right near the old Candlestick Park, AT&T Park, I guess, now, where the Giants play. So it's right off the water, and they're going to create a thing there where people, if you can't get tickets to the game, you can just kind of watch from outside there and kind of create their own version of it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the Heat, the Heat did that, used to do it during, like, the finals and stuff like that. But, you know, Biscayne Boulevard and, you know, Miami's arena, when they're good, if and when they're good again, they should do that on the regular. Because I think Miami people are always in for a party, right? Like, if you can't get into the game, like, I could absolutely see people just hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the problem is...
Well, Bayside's right there, though.
But, I mean, you could do stuff like that, but you have to be better than they are. Like, you know, again... Yeah,
right. You can't be 38 and 44 or whatever.
No one's coming out there for James Johnson as much as we like him.
No, you got to wait until they've got a big-name star on the team, and they don't have that.
Maybe J.R. Smith, if we end
come
up...
On.
J.R. can be part of the party outside in shirtless, because we know he likes that.
That's a party. When you see shirtless J.R. Smith, you know you're at a party, right?
Yeah.
George Sedano is with us from ESPN. So we were talking about this at the beginning of the show. What do you think? Game one, was that Toronto's best gasp? They came out. out and they took the victory, and now Golden State, we know KD is going to be out for game three. I guess Klay Thompson is still questionable. But is it your best guess that Golden State now is going to run the table, or you think that Toronto, that this is a real series?
Oh, I think it's a real series. I thought it was going to be a real series even if KD played, because KD wasn't going to come back at 100%. I mean, even 70% or 80% KD is pretty awesome, right? But, yeah, I thought it was a real series the whole way, mostly because if you look at the Warriors, they haven't seen a team this good defensively. The teams that they faced in the playoffs were the Clippers, who were the 19th best defense in the league this year. The Rockets were the 18th best defense, and the Blazers, who were the 16th best defense. The Raptors were the 5th best defense during the regular season. And by the way, Kawhi missed 22 games for load management or whatever, so they could have been better. And Milwaukee was number one in the NBA. So either team that would have come out of the East, I thought, was going to give them trouble just because they had length, they were excellent on defense, and they had just kind of – Toronto in particular has like KG, Wiley veteran type guys, right, who aren't going to be afraid of the moment. So, yeah, I think this is a real series. I think there's a possibility that this thing comes back to Toronto 2-2.
And, George, you brought up percentages too, talking about rushing KD back or, you know, waiting it out with Klay down now. Do they say, hey, KD, we'll take you at 75, we'll take you at 80, because we need some more power, we need some more offense?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think once he gets cleared and he practices, KD, that is, I think that they'll throw him out there. But the thing with that injury, as far as I've been told, is that he's clearly walking okay. The problem is, you know, trying to run and then stop on a dime and cut and things like that, that you need to go through a practice to at least try to simulate that to see if there's any issues with doing those kind of motions. If he passes that test through a practice, then they're willing to throw him out there in a game. But I think that you have to be cautious, right? Not only for, you know, his own sake, but, you know, he needs to be cautious for his own sake. Like, the team obviously is going to do what's in the best interest of what's in his best interest, because they want to keep him, right? and then he's got to make sure he does the same thing, because he doesn't want, if he does leave, to be damaged goods somewhere else.
And, George, what's up with all the injuries now? Because the trainers, is it fatigue? They've been in the finals 5 years in a row, because you have Klay with the hammy, KD with the calf, Boogie with the quad. He just came back, and now Looney's out for the rest of the series. Is there anything to all these injuries right now?
Well, I think with Boogie, you know, Cousins had the injury that he was coming off of, right? And I think sometimes what happens is, again, this is just how it was explained to me, that you kind of put stress on other areas of your body, right? So he was dealing with the Achilles, and then you're putting extra stress on your quad, right? Because you're compensating just mentally, you're doing some of that. And, you know, it's all interconnected, right? So yeah. I think that that becomes part of the challenge, right? The biggest predictor of future injury is past injury. And so there's some of that. With Klay, I think Klay was just a fluke thing. Last year, remember, he had the bad ankle sprain and he played through that. This season, when you see the way he landed, there's, of course, he was going to hurt his hamstring the way he landed. Like, he landed so awkwardly that right away you could tell that left leg, something was going to be wrong with it. It could have been worse. I thought it was a knee.
Was he trying to draw a foul and hurt himself doing it?
That's what I thought happened, because he landed so awkwardly and then he kind of did the splits there. But I think he was trying to draw a foul.
He was trying to draw a foul, and then the guy was, you know, trying to defend the shot and kind of flew by him. And then as he kind of tried to kind of draw the foul, his legs ended up in an awkward place. So his left leg ended up way out in front of him. So he had to kind of bend his knee real quick, which my guess is, as he's trying to not fall as hard as he could have fallen, like, he's putting added stress on his hamstring, and that's where you have the tweak.
George Sedano is with us from ESPN. You mentioned KD and trying to do the right thing by him because you want him to come back. Let me go through a couple guys here real quick. KD, do you think he comes back to Golden State?
I don't want to leave it, you know, I don't want to be so definitive. I think there is a chance that he comes back. Now, I don't think it's an overwhelming chance, but if you're asking me to sign like a percentage, I would say there's like a 20% chance that maybe he sticks around.
What about Klay Thompson?
Oh, he's staying. Like, I mean, as long as my understanding, look, I work with his daddy, man. Okay. So, like, I feel like I have this. I don't need to act like I'm reporting anything. I talk to the dad every day. So, I feel like it's been pretty clear that if they max him out, he's staying. So, I don't think there's really a lot of mystery to him.
Where do you think Kyrie ends up?
You know, I'm hearing a lot of smoke about Brooklyn. Like, that has become a thing over the last 2 weeks. Kyrie grew up in Jersey, grew up a Nets fan. I think that Brooklyn is a real possibility, and I also would make Brooklyn a dark horse for Anthony Davis, too, because they've got D'Angelo Russell, who's resuscitated his career, young guy. I don't think him and Kyrie, even though there's reports that say that they could be okay playing together, I don't think that would work because neither of them play defense. So I could see D'Angelo Russell and like Caris LeVert and like some of their role players and picks being part of a potential Anthony Davis package. I do think that's a possibility. I don't know if Anthony Davis is going to go there or if that's going to be the best deal that David Griffin's going to get. But I do think that's a remote possibility. But I do think the Kyrie to Brooklyn thing is gaining a lot of steam.
Now, you're in Los Angeles, though. What does that mean for the Lakers? Who could the Lakers get?
The Lakers could be in trouble because Brian Windhorst reported yesterday that Philly is willing to offer the fifth-year full max for Jimmy Butler. That's a guy they thought they might have been able to target. Kyrie is in that conversation, but I don't feel like the Lakers are the front runners there. I think Brooklyn, maybe even the Knicks, are ahead of them. They could be in trouble. I could see them being in a situation where they don't get any of the marquee guys and have to settle for B-level free agents and then hope to get an Anthony Davis deal done and kind of build their team that way with LeBron. Which, look, it seems fairly obvious now that Shams Charania of The Athletic reported today that these two teams that the two camps are entertaining offers, that this thing is going to happen probably before the draft or by draft night where, you know, whatever team that's dealing for Anthony Davis will in essence be picking for New Orleans.
And who's making those decisions in L.A.?
Who's making the decisions as far as the roster?
Yeah, the roster. Like, who's going to rebuild this team? Are they bringing somebody in? Is Rob Pelinka going to be
it? Rob Pelinka. They believe
that's
in it. Rob Pelinka. And, you know, maybe Heath Ledger will reappear somewhere. I don't know.
George,
you know, maybe they have to Pelinka.
They have to bring somebody else in, though.
I mean,
like,
you
can't just
give
it to him.
It's embarrassing, though. They have to be embarrassed that all they're being talked about is as a joke on any of the shows.
Well, look, man, for whatever it's worth, Jeannie Buss and Linda Rambis, who are running the show, they trust in Rob Pelinka, and we'll see. And my understanding is right now LeBron and his camp are playing nice, and they're all pulling the rope in the same direction. But, you know, I've spoken to Dave McMiniman, who covers the Lakers, and obviously he's covered LeBron in Cleveland. Bill Plaschke is an L.A. Times columnist, like a legend down here. You know, he's been around forever. They both believe the same thing, that if they strike out in free agency, that there may be a reckoning, let's say. I'm joking. That's clearly an exaggeration. But LeBron won't be happy if they strike out in free agency. And that, you know, that will be an interesting moment, right? An intersection as to what they will do with Rob Pelinka. And maybe they'll pull off the Anthony Davis thing and free agency won't matter as much. But there is a real possibility that they don't get one of the marquee guys in free agency, and that could be bad for sure.
Last one out of me, George. The Drake situation, bringing Drake, giving Drake all the attention, the Kevin, you know, what was it, the Home Alone sweatshirt, whatever you wore.
Yeah.
Is that a good use of media time in the NBA damn finals?
Well, there's so many off days, right, that I think that does help. And look, it's no different than Spike Lee. I mean, they did a damn 30 for 30 on Spike Lee, basically, you know, and him and Reggie Miller going at it. So, yeah, I think that there's always been that, okay? I actually had this conversation with Jeff Van Gundy the other day on the radio show, and he actually brought up a great point. He's like, there used to be, like, these crazy celebrity hecklers in, like, D.C., and obviously he mentioned Spike. He's like, I was coaching the Knicks back then. He's like, Jack Nicholson will say stuff to you. You know, he's not standing up and massaging the coach, but he'd give it to guys too. He'd be talking some smack at the Laker games back in the day. So, like, there's been some of that, you know, in different spots around the league forever. That's really not new. It's just, it's basically what's happening is that Drake is the newest version of that, and he also happens to be young, right? And he happens to be of the culture, right? Like, he's woven into the fabric of the NBA, where you go to any arena, and in pregame, you're hearing Drake Drake songs, right? Like, he is arguably the biggest star in the world in music right now. So it actually, I think, is great for the NBA.
I like the fact that he's a fan or whatever, like Spike Lee, but just put on the Raptors jersey and sit there like Spike Lee does with the Knicks jersey. He's got to go get the sweatshirt. Too much thought put into it. There's too much thought,
no,
George.
I think it's great. It's just 2019 version of Spike Lee. I mean, Spike Lee, that stuff was happening in the 90s, you know? I mean, again, he did the choke sign to Reggie Miller in front of his face. You know what I mean? Like at Madison Square Garden or whatever. I think it was in Madison Square Garden. Like that, you know, that's no different than Drake telling Draymond he's trash. Like, who knows what Spike? Spike was telling Reggie Miller, one of the most clutch players in the history of the sport, that he was a choke artist. And then Reggie just made him eat it by hitting a huge three. Like, come on. That's the stuff that's always happened. We're just making a bigger deal because there's more media today and there's more exposure today.
They are focusing on him a lot. They show him an awful lot.
It's going to be fun and jolly till somebody hits him in his mouth when he talks trash when they walk past.
That is an interesting point, right? So he's cool with those Warrior guys, right? Like Draymond obviously went to dinner with him the next night or whatever. But there's going to be a guy that he's not going to be cool with. Like last year with Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah.
I've had Kendrick Perkins in studio. And he said, look, I got no beef with Drake. And he goes, you know, after the fact, it clearly was a misunderstanding. But, you know, I wasn't going to let him try to punk me. And that was a guy who would have smacked him for sure.
Yeah, let him say something. Let him say something to Lance Stevenson.
I've heard that story with Perkins, and Perkins said he kept saying, "Wait till after the game." After the game, so Perkins said, "I went and got dressed and walked back out to Drake."
And he waited
when the game's over. What you want to do?
Yes. He waited for him, and then obviously he wasn't around. But, yeah, there are certain guys that you don't trifle with, right? And Kendrick Perkins was one of them, and he learned that very quickly, that it's not – that Kendrick isn't going to do this for show. Like, you want to say to get it on with him, he's going to wait for you.
Who would win in a fight, Lance Stevenson or Drake?
Oh, come on, Lance Stevenson.
This guy's ridiculous.
Get out of here. I thought you were going to say Drake or you, right, or something like that.
Who would win in a fight, Andy Ruiz Jr. or Crowder? Street fight.
Man, that's tough. Because Crowder, I would have picked you, except I saw you try to make that jump that one day in that creek or whatever.
It's the funny thing is I don't know which way I'd go. Because this dude just knocked out Anthony Joshua.
He can take a punch,
right.
Too.
Yeah.
Like, that dude
can take a punch. Yeah, that's the thing. And you clearly are not at the peak of your athletic ability.
Well, neither is Andy Ruiz,
hey,
I don't think.
Let George talk because he says it nicer than you.
But he's young. He's young. And youth helps. And that's why. Because Crowder, a year or two ago, may have made that jump on that that pier.
Yeah.
But now, you know, it's a different stage of your life. So, you know, if maybe when I was back at QAM, you know, in 2012 or whatever, I would have clearly picked Crowder. But now, 2019 Crowder, I don't know so much.
We always say that you could say whatever you want now to Crowder. As long as you maintain a 12-foot radius around him, he can't get near you because we saw what happened when that landmass was 12 feet away. Just keep 12 feet in between you and he the entire time.
Yeah, I'm actually going to have Tyson Fury on my radio show today, and I want to ask him about Andy Ruiz because I feel like that guy loves to talk smack.
Isn't,
he's like 6'8".
Isn't it great to have a heavyweight division that's got some fun to it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been since the 90s, basically, right? I mean, maybe early. When did Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield fight? That was probably like, 98, 99, it feels like?
We had Al Bernstein on today, and he's like, yeah, you wouldn't have called me. If it was just Anthony Joshua winning the way he was supposed to, like, you wouldn't have called me. And then he laid out for us, like, the next three big fights in the heavyweight division and said, yeah, there's going to be some juice with the heavyweights, which makes boxing good.
Yeah. Al Burstein is like one of the nicest people you ever meet, and he's so good at what he does.
We talk with him about entertainment all the time because, like, that's like he's just one of those guys that can talk about anything. Like, he's just good radio.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he is fantastic.
As are you, George Sedano, ESPN and ESPN Los Angeles. No, very good. People still want you in this time slot. And we're always aware that when we bring you on, we may be showcasing our future replacement.
He's good.
Yeah. You're like Jason Kidd and Frank Vogel, right?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. All right. See you, George. Thank you.
See you, guys.
George Sedano, ESPN Los Angeles and ESPN.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.